thanks very much, Bill. And I have some questions that are coming in now. So let's start with one for Stacey. Stacey, one of the attendees is asking, when is the expected publication date or results in terms of any studies on Tdap vaccination of pregnant women?
So I can just tell you what I know from CDC studies, and unfortunately these studies are just getting off the ground now, so it's likely to be at least a year before anything is ready for publication. I do know that there's two clinical trials that are being done, one in Canada, one in the U.S. They are not CDC studies, and I'm not sure of their expected publication dates.
Thank you. And another pertussis question that many of us saw on ProMed. Researchers in Australia recently published an article in the Journal of Infectious Diseases showing a high proportion of isolates from their 2008-10 pertussis epidemic were a vaccine-resistant strain. Is the U.S. doing similar work on our circulating strain?
So yes, we are. We've just recently completed a study looking at our historical strain library at CDC. I will say that the findings in the Australia paper are not necessarily new. We've seen diversity in the circulating strains in the U.S. over time, and most of the currently circulating strains are mismatched on most of the vaccine antigens, but this does not mean they're vaccine resistant. It's important to know that this change occurred primarily before the switch to cellular vaccines, and it's important not just to look at the mismatch, but to look at current vaccine effectiveness, which we just did in California, like I presented in my talk. And if you look at short-term vaccine effectiveness from the pertussis vaccines, it's very good. It's up near 98%. We don't think that the issue is strain mismatch as much as it is waning of immunity. The duration of protection is just not long enough, and there's just too many susceptibles in the population.
Great. Thank you very much. Another questioner has asked for the reference link that was at the bottom of Dr. Taddy's slide regarding pseudo-outbreaks, and I think I have gotten the slide up here now for that person to look at. It's a long web link to call out on the phone line, but these slides will also be available on the CDC website after the presentation to view, you know, following the presentation. Are there any additional questions?
And I can also add that if they go to the CDC Pertussis website, they can get to that guidance very easily on the diagnostic testing part of the website.
Great. I'd also comment that for much of the materials that all the different talks that were covered today, there's a lot of information on the CDC website for lab protocols and details about how to collect specimens and even slide, you know, a little video showing that. It's all available under the different diseases, measles, mumps, rubella, et cetera, pertussis, on the website. There's one additional.
I know. Hi, this is Greg Wallace. I see a question that's not showing up for everybody else, but the question is measles outbreaks expected due to the increased travel this summer for the Olympics, and what measures are any being taken? And with every major international event, we put out alerts to remind people to make sure that they're up to date on their vaccines. And there's also travel recommendations for the youngest kids. Those who are 6 to 11 months of age can get a dose before they travel if they're going to be traveling, as well as those before the from 12 months of age before the age of 4 to 6 years of old age, they can get a second dose within or after 4 weeks after the first dose. So do we expect any outbreaks? I think it is a concern that there's more measles activity recently in Western Europe, so travel is always a concern. But with any major event, it can also be a concern. When the World Cup in 2010 happened in South Africa and there was measles circulating there, we put out alerts. We've had Canada experienced cases after the Vancouver Olympics. But whenever you have an event where people are traveling from lots of different areas, there's always the risk of measles, since measles occurs in so many countries. So again, the message is get vaccinated, make sure you're up to date on your measles vaccine before traveling, whether it's to the Olympics or for any other reason.
Thanks very much, Greg.
Another question's come in for pertussis. The question is, if we know pertussis wanes, why not recommend Tdap for adults every 10 years and not just once, and then further doses with DT? It's a great question, and as I mentioned during my talk, we have several studies that are either planned or ongoing looking at Tdap duration of protection. Once we have that data and we know what the appropriate interval is, that data will be presented to the ACIP for consideration. So right now it is a single dose vaccine, but that may change depending on data that we're able to collect through ongoing studies.
Thanks, Stacy.
There's also one more question here that didn't get read, and it said that I mentioned that the pertussis website was going to be updated, and asked if there was a definition for pertussis outbreak and whether or not that had been updated. And the answer is no. There is no updated definition of an outbreak on our CDC website. Defining an outbreak is very difficult, and it depends heavily on the setting, whether or not you're talking about a school or a community or a statewide outbreak. And many states define their outbreaks differently. So, no, we don't have an updated definition, and I don't think we're going to have one in the near future.
Great, thank you.
And I got another question about the Tdap duration of protection studies and when they're expected to be completed. We hope to have at least a vaccine effectiveness study that we hope to implement this year. We hope to have it finished by the end of the year. So I would expect to see initial preliminary results by the beginning of next year.
There's a question here for measles, and it says, are there developments on saliva-based antibody tests for measles and rubella with applications for public health surveillance? And the United Kingdom has oral fluid testing for measles and rubella, and they have actually specialized EIA kits that they actually have marketed. One of them is actually marketed here in the United States. They also have the ability to do mail-in postal services for oral fluids for RT-PCR. We have not developed that methodology here, although we are actually looking into it here for diagnostic purposes, but not for routine surveillance.
Okay, I think the time now says we're up. It's just after 4:00. So I'd like to thank everybody for their presentations today and all the participants for listening in. Thank you very much.